Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Our Christ is not narrow or limited. He's all-inclusive, and he's extensive. Do you realize that he's a universal traveler? Well, in incarnation, he traveled from the heavens to the earth. In death and resurrection, he traveled from the earth into Hades and then back to earth again. And then in ascension, he traveled back into the heavens only to be poured out once more to the earth to be our everything as the life-giving Spirit. This is our Christ. And as the result of all this universal traveling, he fills all in all and wants to impress us that he alone can replace everything that occupies us, even our culture. Dick Taylor has joined us again as we explore the all-inclusive and extensive Christ. Dick, the universal traveler, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris. What an awesome, all-inclusive, all-extensive Christ. Let's enjoy him today.
I'm for that, Dick. I'm looking forward to our program today. Dick, one of the things we're going to see today, we'll touch again the matter of the new man that Paul mentions both in Colossians and then also in Ephesians, of course. And I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with the term, but a common thought when we hear this term is that, oh, the new man, that refers to our new nature or our new self that we got when we got saved, and so that each of us has a new man. But really, that's not the concept that Paul conveys to us, is it?
No, it's not, Chris. The new man is actually the highest aspect of the church, so it's a corporate entity. And it's so good, like Colossians 3:11 says, in the new man, there cannot be Greek or Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ, who is all and in all. So the new man is a group of people who have been constituted with Christ, who is all and all, who is everything in God's economy. Hallelujah for the new man.
Dick, let me finish the context there. You quoted verse 11 for us pretty accurately as I was following along. I had it written down and you were giving it from memory. I also want to add Colossians 2:8. These two sections of scripture from Colossians chapter 2 and 3 are going to be very important today. Verse 8 in chapter 2 says, "Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ." That's chapter 2, verse 8.
Amen.
And then chapter 3, the verse you read is 11, the verse right before it, I'll read both of those. "And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of him who created him."
Amen.
"Where there cannot be," and Dick, join me for this,
"Jew and Greek, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all."
That's the Christ we're going to see on our program today, Dick. Let's join Witness Lee.
Amen.
God's intention is to have all his chosen people, you and me, all should be what? Should be saturated, permeated, filled up, even close with Christ. We should live Christ. Christ should be our life. Christ should be our living. Christ should be our daily walk. Christ should be everything. We should live Christ. This was God's eternal plan. And still, this is God's present economy. But listen, the culture is the top invention of human civilization. The intention that God had in creation of man was that man would have God as everything. Man would have God as their life, as their bread, as their living, as their joy, as their entertainment, as their pleasure, as their support. God should have been everything to his created man. But man got lost. Then man, in man's fall, lost God. Lost the factor and the meaning and the purpose of man's life. And today, all the people living on this earth, they don't have a factor of their life. They don't have a meaning of their life. They don't have a purpose of their life because they lost God, who should be the very factor, the very meaning, the very purpose of human life. Because man lost God so hard, so man still have to go. To go to what? To go to some replacement. And the best replacement is what? Culture is a replacement of God in the fallen man's living. Man should live God. Man should have God as man's life, man's living, man's bread, man's pleasure, man's joy, man's entertainment, man's everything. But man lost God, still man needed something. So man invented this part of the culture, that aspect of the culture. Every part and every aspect of man's culture is a replacement of God.
Dick, you know, we generally think of culture as a good thing, maybe as the better aspect of humanity, the finer side of man's character. But here we're getting a much different view. From its very origin, culture has always been man's top replacement for God. Most of us have experienced, Dick, trying to fill ourselves up with all the external diversions of our popular culture. But the point of Colossians is that it really makes no difference what culture we have as a replacement. If we're not experiencing Christ as our life, moment by moment, ultimately we're empty, aren't we?
We really are, Chris. I was thinking of Genesis. We see that God's intention originally was that man would have God as everything. He'd be his life, his living, his enjoyment, entertainment, pleasure, just like our brother said. But in Genesis 4, it says that Cain, representing fallen humanity, went out from the presence of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And right in those verses, 16 through 22 of chapter 4 in Genesis, says he had developed the three P's. We could call them the three P's. Number one, provision. Made his own provision, his own living, didn't need God.
Right.
Had to develop something apart from God. God wanted to be everything, but he went out to make his own provision, his own housing, making a living. And the second P is just develop things of pleasure and entertainment, to completely entertain himself. God's desire is that he would be our amusement, our entertainment, our joy. Thirdly, he manufactured weapons, and this is for his protection. A man, after the fall of man developed his own culture as a replacement of God himself. There you see the provision, you see the pleasure, and you see the protection, are all the three things man needs with many compartments in each one.
Yeah.
All of them are replacements for God himself. But God's intention is that Christ would be our life, our living, our joy, our entertainment. Even he would be our broadcast today. He wants to be the reality of everything. So this is a real subtle replacement. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." May we have no living other than Christ himself. God himself, that is Christ himself, should be the factor, the meaning, and the purpose of our human life.
Right.
May nothing replace this marvelous Christ. Colossians is bringing us to this Christ who is the unique replacement of all the replacements.
Dick, you know, in this coming section, I think one of the points that will be made is that we may be reluctant to give up so many of these things because our perception of Christ is that, well, he's somewhat narrow and isn't broad enough to cover all of these aspects that I think I need. But the problem is not Christ. The problem is our view of Christ is what's narrow, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. We need to see this Christ and have our replacements exposed.
Let's see him in this coming portion. Here's Witness Lee again.
According to God's destiny, according to God's ordination, without Christ, man cannot live and man should not live. Without Christ, you cannot live and you should not live. Without Christ, you should not exist on this earth. You are meaningless. But today, on this earth, millions of people are still living. They live not by Christ. They live by what? They live by their culture. Suppose you take away the culture from all Americans. All the Americans cannot live. By this you can see culture replaces Christ. What is God's salvation? God's salvation is not just to save us from sin. It's not just to save us from God's judgment. It's not just to save us from hell. Not just to save us from the world. Not just to save us from ourselves. God's salvation is to save us from any kind of replacement of Christ. And what is the practical, actual, daily replacement of Christ? Your culture. Your culture. My culture. Our culture. And our own culture. Without culture, how could we live? Without culture, we cannot exist. But we have to realize any kind of culture is actually, practically, daily, even hourly, a replacement of Christ. So, in the eyes of God, culture is hateful because culture replaces Christ. What kind of Christ can replace culture? Not the narrow Christ, just, oh, he is God, and he loved us, and one day he became a man, and then he went to the cross, and he died there, bearing our sins, and then he was buried, and then he was resurrected, and then he ascended to the heavens, and now he's sitting there at the Lord, at the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, waiting time that he will come back, then he will be the king of this earth, and we will be co-kings with him. Nothing wrong here. But this is the narrow view of Christ. And this Christ cannot replace our culture. Such a narrow down Christ could be your house, could be your clothing, could be your proper culture. Christ has to be our culture. We lost God, but Christ has brought us back to him. We were the lost and found items. Are you not in lost and found item, brother? Amen. You tell me. I was lost, I also have been found. Amen. I was lost, losing God. Well, hallelujah, I've been found. Amen. Having been brought back, reconciled, and know himself. Amen. He is my factor, he is my meaning, he is my purpose. He is the factor, the meaning, the purpose of my human life. You see, I have lost him. Now I have been found and reconciled and brought back to him. So, actually, do you and I live by culture? This is the purpose that this book was written. This book was written to reveal to us an extensive, all-inclusive Christ to be the real culture.
Well, Dick, are you a lost and found item?
Yes, I am. Hallelujah, I'm found.
That was a marvelous description of us, isn't it?
A wonderful description.
We were in the lost hoping to be found, Ben.
And now we've been reconciled back to God and Christ, who's everything.
You know, he posed a lot of interesting questions here, Dick. What would our life be like, and I say our meaning our American life, without all these things, without movies, without football, no NBA, no NFL, no modern music, you pointed out, no computers. Man turns to these things because we need to be entertained, we need to be occupied. All kinds of things that have become the focus of today's culture have been intended to fill up these needs that we have. But what does it mean, really and practically, that Christ should be the factor, the meaning, and the purpose of our human life, and ultimately the replacement of all the replacements?
This means that in our experience, Christ wants to be the reality of culture itself. Even Christ himself would be our culture. I appreciate so much our brother pointing out that God's salvation is not merely to deliver us from hell, thank the Lord we're delivered from hell, or to save us from this or that, but even to save us from anything that replaces Christ. Christ himself is the meaning, the purpose, the factor of our life, and so we need to be saved from anything else that has become our meaning. You know, why do even many believers seek so many things other than Christ? It's because they want to be entertained, they want to be amused. But I have to testify, Chris. For example, I have a lot of sports history.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I did have a lot of entertainment, enjoyment, kind of quote-unquote fun in different aspects of that experience. But I can say boldly and strongly, I hope all who are listening would say amen to this and even have the experience that now that I've found Christ and I've learned to enjoy Him, according to the revelation in the book of Colossians, I have to say there was no excitement, no joy, no entertainment, nothing like this Christ. He is the joy of joys, entertainment of entertainment, the amusement of amusement. He is just wonderful. Yesterday, I was on campus at UCLA, and I was speaking with a young man who was a freshman. And I asked him a question at a certain point. I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not, but I come from a Christian background." And I said, "Well, what do you feel about the Lord?" He says, "Actually, I'm trying to do my best to have fun right now and avoid Him."
An honest answer.
Yeah, he gave an honest answer. But I just began to boldly tell him there's no excitement, no enjoyment, no party, no pleasure, no fun like Jesus Christ. And was just giving him a testimony. He stood and listened, very, very much appreciating. And I appreciate so much Colossians 2:16. "Let no one judge you, therefore, in eating, drinking, respect of a feast, new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body, the reality is of Christ." So Christ wants to be everything to us, our life, our living. Even when I was coming on the freeway today, I said, "Lord Jesus, you're my real 405. You're my real 105. You're my real 605. You're my real 91. You're my Magnolia Avenue." And He was my transport, all divine. Apparently, I was driving a 90 Nissan Stanza. Actually, I was driving in Christ. What a way to come. He's everything. He wants to be our house. Many times we see a real nice dwelling place, and you just think, "Oh, boy, would that be nice to own that house." But even it's so good to just even exercise our spirit, be under this governing vision of this all-inclusive, all-extensive Christ, and say, "House, you're nothing. My God is my dwelling place. Oh, I'm in home sweet home." So it's so good to have this marvelous Christ. He's our purpose, our meaning, our factor. May nothing replace Him. And God is saving us right now, even as we listen to this broadcast, from so many replacements of Christ. We're here on this earth to do nothing but enjoy Christ. He would be the one reality of all.
You know, Dick, I remember as a young believer reading the story of the Welch Revival and Evan Roberts. One of the things that struck me, because I also too had a background involved a lot with sports and took a lot of pleasure, but reading that story, in Wales at that time, of course, soccer was all-encompassing and as important to them as probably the NFL is to us today in our culture. And during the course of that revival, eventually the soccer stadiums emptied. All of the people were packing into these little chapels to hear the gospel.
Amen.
So for a season, they enjoyed that as their reality. And really, it is not impossible, even in our age today, is it?
It is not. God Himself can become our real entertainment, joy, and excitement.
Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee. We're going to find out this time about the universal traveler, our Lord Jesus.
"I live Christ, and I live not a narrow Christ. I live an extensive Christ. He came down from the heaven to the earth, and He went down from the earth to Hades, and He came up from the Hades to the earth, and He ascended from the earth to heaven. He traveled back and through that He filled all the things in the universe to be the extensive one. And this extensive one is my life. And I live Him. And I live Him. So He replaces the culture." This is the revelation of this book. This is why Paul presents us the extensive Christ, in order to show us that our culture should be replaced by Christ. We should have Christ to replace our culture. Don't drop your culture. You cannot drop it. But when you leave Christ, Christ replaces the culture. Don't treasure any ism, Judaism, Gnosticism, asceticism, any kind of ism. And that is a part of the culture. We don't live any ism. We don't live any theory. We live Christ. We live a living person who is the Son of God, who is the portion of the saint, who is the image of the invisible God, who is the firstborn and every atom of all creation, who is the first one of the new creation, who reconciles everything to him, and who is now the mystery of God to be our life and to be everyone, the new man, we live him. We live such an extensive one to replace our culture. This is Colossians. Colossians doesn't deal with sin. Colossians doesn't deal with an age, with the world. Colossians doesn't deal with the self. Colossians deals with culture, which has become the very factor, meaning, and purpose of human life, replacing God. But now, since Christ has reconciled us back to him, we should leave him. Now, we do not live any kind of life, but we live Christ. We live the life of Christ. We take him as the factor, the meaning, the purpose, and the goal of our life. This is the revelation of this book.
Dick, for all the things that plague us in our daily living, things that we're sure that are displeasing to the Lord, maybe our temper or our attitude to our wives or our kids or the way we drive or any manner of things, do we ever consider that our culture is the biggest problem that Paul's addressing in this book? Not sin, not the world, not ourselves, but culture. Quite a realization, isn't it?
It's really a realization. And I appreciate these verses in Ephesians, Chris, don't you, that says Christ traveled everywhere.
Yeah.
That he might fill all things, indicating that nothing in this universe, particularly all the positive things, nothing would replace him. Christ wants to be all in all to us. And, you know, we're so saturated and permeated with culture. How do you get out of this thing? Well, the main thing is don't try to drop culture, but rather pick up Christ.
Amen.
Live Christ. Enjoy Christ. Automatically, he will become the unique replacement of all these replacements. Appreciate that Christ himself should be the goal, the meaning, the purpose, the factor, and even our culture itself. May Christ be everything to us. And I just feel the best way to end this program is with all of us who are involved, both giving this broadcast and listening to this broadcast, all of us would freshly just say, Lord Jesus, I give all the room in my being to you. There would be no room for anything but yourself. You are the Christ who fills all things. I don't want anything to replace you. Lord Jesus, you're my first love.
Amen.
Amen.
Dick, that was the most striking point. I'd like to just underline it as we leave today. There's no way to be free of our culture. We can't empty ourselves of culture. We have to pick up Christ.
Amen.
You know, someone once used the illustration, if you have something in your hands, it's impossible for anybody to give you anything.
That's right.
But if they presented to you, you have to drop what's in your hands to get it.
Amen.
Amen, Dick. Thank you.
You're welcome, Brother Chris. Let's gain Christ.
How about that? For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.